Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Jai Shri Radha Madhava Ki. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 6. Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. And today we have text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Konvartha Trishnam Vishrijit Pranebhyupi Ya Ipsitaha Yam Krinatya Subhi Prishtais Thaskara Sivako Vanik Konvartha Trishnam Vishrijit Pranebhyopi ya ipsitaha Yam krinatyasubhi prishthais Taskara sevako vanik
Vaishnavis.
who nu indeed artha trishnam, a strong desire to acquire money. Vishrijit, can give up pranebhya, then life. Api indeed yaha, which ipsita, more desired. Yam, which krenati, tries to acquire. Asubihi, with his own life. Prashtahi, very dear. Taskaraha, a thief. Sevakaha, a professional servant. Vanik, a merchant. Translation here is Prahlad Maharaj who speaks. Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, how money can be dearer than life is indicated in this verse. Thieves may enter the house of a rich man to steal money at the risk of their lives. Because of trespassing, they may be killed by guns or attacked by watchdogs, but still they try to commit burglary. Why do they risk their lives? Only to get some money. Similarly, a professional soldier is recruited into the army and he accepts such service with the risk of dying on the battlefield only for the sake of money. In the same way, merchants go from one country to another on boats at the risk of their lives, or they dive into the water of the sea to collect pearls and valuable gems. Thus it is practically proved, and everyone will admit, that money is sweeter than honey. One may risk everything to acquire money, and this is especially true of rich men who are too attached to household life. Formerly, of course, the members of the higher castes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, everyone but the Shudras, were trained in the Guru Kula to adhere to a life of renunciation and sense control by practicing Brahmacharya and mystic yoga. Then they were allowed to enter household life. There have consequently been many instances in which great kings and emperors have given up household life, although they were extremely opulent and were the masters of kingdoms. They could give up all their possessions because they were trained early as brahmacharis. Prahlad Maharaj's advice is therefore very appropriate. Kaumara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabhan manusham janma tadapya dhruvam artadham. Quote, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service. giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Unquote. Human society should take advantage of this instruction. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshurun Melitamena Tasmai Shri Guru Namana Om Shadar Yusufar Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Translation again, if you like, you can repeat. Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money? Especially in household life, thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. So, first of all, what is money? We all do have some experience with money. We have seen it, we have handled it, we have spent it, we have received it for ourselves or on behalf of others. Money is an instrument for the exchange of goods and services. In other words, when you have a recognized form of money, something recognized by the government, recognized by the people you're dealing with, then you can exchange that for services. For instance, you may want to travel by bus, by taxi, by airplane. So you give some money, and those who manage those services, they allow you to use their services. They allow you on the airplane or on the bus, train, taxi, or whatever. Or for the exchange of goods, you like something, you see something you like, say a mridanga, or I would like to buy that mridanga. Whoever is selling that mridanga, you give a certain amount of money and he gives you the mridanga. Same for food, clothes, vehicles, housing, anything basically. And that's why money is so attractive. Because having money gives us access to owning and enjoying things. In other words, it gives access to sense gratification. For instance, food. Say you like to eat opulent food. More opulent is the food, more it's costly. Say you want to eat ghee. Ghee is more costly than, what's a cheaper oil? Mustard oil. So ghee is more costly than mustard oil. So if you want to eat with ghee, fry with ghee, then you have to spend more money. If you want to eat basmati rice, it's more costly than maybe local rice, like that. Maybe you all understand what I'm saying. So having money gives you access to experiences that are not accessible if you don't have money. So you can have objects, you can have nice clothes. A cotton kurta costs less than a silk kurta. This kurtan costed me 400 rupees. But if it was a silk kurtan, it would have been much more costly. But it would have been more, perhaps more elegant. Like that. So if we analyze every aspect of life, money is the key for owning things and doing things. Somebody wants to travel, he needs money. And not only the immediate product, object, goods, or immediate service. It's also a social position. Like for instance, there are certain clubs, golf clubs, Rotary clubs, Lions clubs, that are only for rich people. They won't allow somebody who is poor. First of all, there is a fee to be paid, and if you cannot pay, they don't allow you inside. But they also want to keep a certain standard. So money also gives you access to certain social circles that poor people don't have access to. And so it's not just the physical enjoyment, better food, better clothing. It's also the psychological enjoyment, the social prestige, the influence, the power. When we have money, we can hire people to do our bidding. We can hire servants, maid servants, different other people will serve us. And this gives us a sense of power. We do have power. So money is power. And of course, we are not, and Prahlada Maharaj is not demonizing money. Money is not bad in itself. But because we do have a desire to enjoy, to dominate, and a tendency for excess, then it's dangerous. That's all. And it's so dangerous that people even risk their lives. Here, Srila Prabhupada said, like for instance, merchants go from one country to another on boats at the risk of their lives. Nowadays, maybe not many people, not many merchants go by boat. But there are still many shipping companies, and for instance, in certain area of the world, there are still pirates. So you know that when you're shipping something, that you're going by sea, you might be stopped by pirates. A few hundred years ago, several European countries, they were very enthusiastically traveling the world for business. There was the Spanish people, the French, the Dutch, the Portuguese. The Portuguese actually came to India, Vasco da Gama, you might have heard about Vasco da Gama, came to India, established colonies in India, like in Goa, Daman, Diu, and so on, mainly for business. And at that time, these boats were very risky. These were not the boats of today. These boats could capsize. Many, many hundreds and thousands of people died in the oceans because the boat collapsed, broke, or were sunk by a storm. There's a story once in Kerala, there were some Portuguese merchants, and Kerala was especially famous. It was the Malabar coast. It was very rich in spices, gold, incense, and all those very valuable things in Europe. So the merchants would come, and they would fill up these boats, And there is at least one story in which they filled up the boat so much out of greed, that the boat sank right there in the harbor. They couldn't even start a trip because they were so eager. No, put more, put more, put more, put more, put more. And the boat sank right there in the harbor like that. So, again, especially in householder life, even a devotee, even a pure devotee, needs some money. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was working as a magistrate, would get some money for it. Srila Prabhupada was working as a pharmacist, as a pharmaceutical business. He had a little factory to make medicinals. So he would produce some money and run his family. But obviously, the acharyas and the devotees in general, they don't focus so much on money. They need some money, we use some money, but they don't have this greed for accumulation. They're satisfied. Some devotees are rich by karma, by their skills. They know how to move money, make more money. Some devotees are, they live modest life. They don't have much money. They can't afford big apartments. They can't afford many vehicles. They can't afford costly food or costly jewelry. But if they are devotees, deeply in their heart, they'll be happy. They'll be satisfied. They'll feel this is what Krishna gave me. It's good. It's a good protection for me. Probably if I get more money, I become disturbed. I become distracted, so this is enough. I got enough to feed me, feed my family, and this is enough. They don't go out of their way to accumulate more. Obviously, everyone has to see his own situation. But this is the general guidelines. Be satisfied with what one has. For instance, there is a devotee I heard a story from South America. There was a devotee, a brahmachari. Simple brahmachari, was working very hard in the temple. Then he got some inheritance. Somebody died in his family and he got a lump of money. I don't think it was very much. I think it was about $10,000 or say 4 lakhs. Something like that. 6 lakhs, like that. So not a huge amount. But for him, it was overwhelming. So this brahmachari, but the day before, had nothing. He would just take prasad in the temple, sleep in the temple, serve during the day as everybody else. When he got this lump of money, he got completely agitated. He left the temple. Colloquially speaking, he blooped. He left devotional service. And he started using this money to try to enjoy in all forms of sinful activities. He started doing drugs, drinking, this, that. And soon he finished the money. So he went back to the temple, asking, please take me back. So the devotees were a little bit upset with him. He said, look, you got $10,000. You didn't give anything to the temple. You just left the temple. You wasted all your money. You blew all your money. And now you come back. But this is an example how sometimes material opulence can be a distraction. Can be a distraction. Because one becomes absorbed like that. So what's the solution? Very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada starts by speaking about money and then ends up talking about Gurukul. And he says something very interesting. He says that in the Varnashram system, every member of the higher caste, means Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas, would send their children to the Gurukul to become Brahmacharis. And we know even Krishna went to Gurukul, though he was a prince. He went to Gurukul. And Vasudeva and Devaki sent him to Gurukul. Because of course, as God, He gives the example to human society, how everybody should go to Gurukul. Gurukul means to develop the mood of being a servant. A servant of Guru, a servant of Krishna, and to develop the mood that this world is temporary, and there is no real hope for lasting happiness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, because they were sent to Gurukul, because they grew up as brahmacharis, even great kings with extreme opulent surroundings, I mean kings, Vedic kings, the gold, the horses, the palaces, the maidservants, the concubines, they had everything, much more than what we could even imagine. Nowadays, politicians, they may be rich, but they are up for only a few years. Being a king is for life. And in the Vedic kingdoms, there was no opposition. There was not this party, that party, I'll be voted out. No. So imagine the access these kings had to sense gratification. But they could give up. And in fact, in the Bhagavatam, especially in the next cantos, you'll see so many kings at one point they give up, they go to the forest, they take vanaprastha. Why? Because they have been trained as brahmacharis. And then when they enter household life, here Srila Prabhupada used the expression, then they were allowed to enter household life. So when they entered household life, they know it's a temporary situation. They know it's a phase of life. It's not the whole life. So they enter, stay 25 years, 30 years, and then they leave. Because they've been trained. So this is one of, I mean, we could list many, many, many problems with modern education and the modern attitude to education. But this is a central problem. Modern education things only prepares people, not all modern education, but mostly prepares people to get a job. Prepares people only for artha. It does not prepare for dharma or moksha. Or in other words, using a euphemism, modern education only aims at grihastha life. It's not really grihastha life, it's grihamedi life, but just to use common expressions. Modern education is so that, okay, you get married, you'll have some way of making money, and that's all. But the Gurukula, the school of the Guru, the Krishna conscious education, prepares one for grihastha life, but prepares one also for vanaprastha life and sannyas life. So it's a complete different attitude. And Srila Prabhupada quotes again this very powerful verse, which is actually, I believe, is the first verse of this chapter. Huh? Yeah? So again, he quotes this verse. Kaumara acharit pragyu dharmam bhagavatamiha durlabham anushan janma tadapi adruva artadam. And Srila Prabhupada speaks a lot about Gurukul in this canto, especially in this canto. Even yesterday verse, some of you were here, even there he spoke about Gurukul. Yesterday's verse says, therefore children should be taught from the very beginning of life to be first class brahmacharis. Then it will be possible for them to give up household life in the future. Like that. Before entering household life, one should be trained as brahmachari, living under the care of the guru. From the very beginning, a brahmachari is trained to sacrifice everything for the benefit of the guru. So, Srila Prabhupada spoke of this many times in the books. He spoke about this with his leaders. He spoke about this in letters, in lectures, and so on. But unfortunately, this is an aspect of our movement which is very, very weak. Very weak. There is not much acceptance of these instructions among the parents. There is not much emphasis by the leaders. And therefore, as a result, there's not much of a Gurukul education in ISKCON, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a society. I've been invited to speak at a conference next month. The conference is entitled Exploring Varnashram. And somehow I was invited, one of the mysteries of life, but somehow I was invited to talk about Varnashram. And what I'm going to talk is, without Gurukul, Varnashram is a dream. It's a pie in the sky. Without Gurukul, Varnashram is a hobby. Something we can do and talk for leisure. We got some free time, we can talk about Varnashram. Or we can take some little element, like say, okay, we won't drink milk unless it comes from protected cows. Little things here and there. And we may think, oh, we are doing Varnashram, we are establishing Varnashram. But if Varnashram was a tree, the root of the tree was Gurukul. Because everything starts chronologically from the first phase, Brahmacharya. You can't start from sannyasis, you can't start from vanaprasthas, you cannot start from grihasthas. Life starts at childhood. It's not my arrangement, it's God's arrangement. Life starts at childhood, and Prahlad Maharaj says the children should do Bhagavad Dharma full time. If you don't have good, strong brahmacharis, you won't have good, strong grihasthas. If you don't have good, strong grihasthas, you won't have so many good, strong vanaprasthas. And if you don't have very good, strong vanaprasthas, you don't have so many good, strong sannyasis. So brahmacharya is the root of the old tree. If the root is weak, or if the root is cut, forget about varnashram. Let's talk about something else. There's not only varnashram in life. We can talk about something else. I mean, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu doesn't even mention Varnashram as an item of devotional service. So there's so many things that we can talk. But if we talk Varnashram, we got to talk Gurukul. And when we talk Gurukul, means there must be some sacrifice. First of all, needs to make some investment, cultural investment. It takes faith. It takes faith that my child will be taken care of by Krishna, even if he doesn't go and work for a corporation as a computer engineer. So the base of Varnashram, the basis of Varnashram is Gurukula. And obviously, I'm not talking about the Gurukul here in Mayapur. I'm talking the principle. Okay? So the basis of Varnashram is Gurukul. And the basis of Gurukul is having those values that I need to give my child a Krishna conscious education. That's the topmost priority. But unfortunately, some parents don't think like that. They think that, no, my child has to be another piece in the machine of modern society. It has to go and fit in some Ugra karmic civilization. Otherwise, how we will live? Huh? If it does not depend on the karmi, on the Ugra karmis, how will he survive? So with this attitude, forget about Gurukul, forget about Varnashram. Let's talk about something else. Talk about the holy name. The holy name doesn't need Varnashram. It's a week of the holy name. We can talk about the holy name. But somehow it happened that Srila Prabhupada talks about Gurukul in this verse, so I'm talking about Gurukul. And Gurukul and money. See, it talks about two things. Money, our relation with money, and Gurukul. That seems to something very different. What is Gurukul and money? But actually it's very connected. Because if one thinks that education is just to prepare to make money, then you can't have Gurukul. You cannot. It's not the attitude. Even mundane educational institutes, the most famous, the most prestigious, like Oxford, they don't prepare people to make money. They prepare people to think. They challenge people to see things in different ways. And because they do that, different corporations, banks, investment funds, they go to Oxford to try to get the students. Because they know how to make money, and they know that ultimately you make money when you are able to think. You can always hire managers, MBAs, you can always hire engineers. There are millions of engineers in the world with a little piece of paper in their hand, please hire me. You can always hire them. I was reading the other day, there's a project in China, they put 10,000 engineers just to work on one project. 10,000. But people will think, people who can control the senses, people with ethical values, those are the most sought after. So, I want to share, before taking some questions, I want to share some quotes. There's a very famous morning walk in Vrindavan, very famous. March 1474. Somebody wrote a book or compiled. It's called the, one time they called it the Varnashram Talks or Varnashram Walk. Because Srila Prabhupada says a lot about these things. So I read 3-4 quotes and then I'll open up for questions. Srila Prabhupada says, from 5 to 10 years, Gurukul. And after 10 years, they should go to the Varnashram College. So this is Srila Prabhupada's concept. We worship Srila Prabhupada. And this instruction we have not followed as a movement. We jump up and down, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. But this one we didn't follow yet. How much Srila Prabhupada wanted this Gurukul? Same morning walk. He says sannyasis should teach in this Varnashram school. Sannyasis generally are the most valuable members of society. They are like our you could say crown jewels of the devotees. They are detached, They are free and they are knowledgeable. And Srila Prabhupada wanted sannyasi to teach in this school. In other words, he wanted to invest the best. Unfortunately, the history in Gurukul, in ISKCON, was a little more sad. Sometimes, the people tend to put people in Guru, not everybody, but often, when you had somebody in your temple who cannot collect, cannot do puja, cannot do management, then you put it in Gurukul. So the Gurukul was getting the worst. People were somewhat dysfunctional, somewhat useless. They were going to teach in Gurukul. But that was not Srila Prabhupada's intention. Srila Prabhupada says, teaching should be done by the sannyasis. Just like in missionary school, the fathers teach. Srila Prabhupada got his education in Calcutta at the Scottish Church College. And he was trained in the academic subject by fathers, priests, Catholic priests of like sannyasis. They don't get married, so they dedicate their life. So Srila Prabhupada had this experience. The best, the most knowledgeable, the most detached should be the teachers, should be with students, because their qualities will rub off on the students. So you want to put your best people teaching in Gurukul, not the discarded ones, the ones who are good for nothing. Then, this is a letter to a GBC, 76, a letter to Jayatirtha. All Grihasthas who are interested in doing business should do so in full swing. Let all Grihasthas who wish to execute business full-fledgedly in the USA and in this way support Gurukul. The profit from the businesses should first go to support Gurukul. And balance may be given for the local temple maintenance. You see how Srila Prabhupada thinks? The best sannyasis should be teaching. And when there is money, when Grihastha make money, first to Gurukul. Nothing should be missing in Gurukul. It should have the best. Best doesn't mean, obviously, sense gratification. The best facilities. Actually, in the Gurukul in the 70s struggled a lot for money. Struggled a lot. Sometimes there is not good food. Sometimes there was no good place, good ashrams. But this is what Srila Prabhupada said. Grihasthas, do business. The profit from the business should first go to support Gurukul. Because that's the first duty of Grihastha to their children. Then the balance go to temples. You see the system of value? Huh? Srila Prabhupada says, this is during a Gurukul inspection in Vrindavan, 77. There must be 500 students. Now your business is bring students. He's talking with the leaders of the Gurukul. I had a very bad experience. I asked so many men to give students, Vedic students. But they were saying, Swamiji, we have to earn money. Nobody wants that their children should be honest, brahmana, brahmachari. Nobody wants. So Srila Prabhupada personally tried. He spoke with this businessman in India. He said, even before going, he was begging, can you give a son? You got three sons, give one. They said, no. We have to earn money. They also have to earn money. Then he created his own movement. But more or less, we are still telling Srila Prabhupada the same. More or less, the general mood, we are still telling Srila Prabhupada, sorry, we are not interested in Gurukul. Our children should get a degree and fit
in the karmic world, get a job. We are not interested in your ideas of Gurukul. We are still telling, we are not saying, in few days is Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja. Probably nobody is going to write that in their Vyasa Puja offering. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for these ideas, but we are not interested. We are not going to write it, but this is how we actually act. You know, everybody knows that action speaks louder than words. If I tell you, I love you, but then every time I see, I slap you, where is the love? So, we are in the 50th anniversary of this movement, and 50th anniversary, 50 years is not much. We often say that the movement will go on for 10,000 years, right? So if you see 10,000 years, 50 years is the 200th part. In other words, you divide 10,000 years in 200 parts, so 50 years is only the one part. So we had a very bad experience with Gurukul because we did not apply Srila Prabhupada's formula. We did not put the best teachers. We did not put the most money. Then in Bengal it is said, Yato gur tato mishti. Everybody understand that? Yato gur tato mishti. More you put gur, the more it becomes sweet. If you don't put anything, how can you expect? So Srila Prabhupada had an idea of Gurukul, which included investment in manpower, investment in money. But so far we didn't do it. And therefore we don't have a Gurukul. So these are just scratching the surface on this topic. I just want to finish, then I will take some questions, with one quote, also from the seventh canto. This is 7, 5, 56, 57, previous chapter. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukul plays an extremely important part of in our activities. Extremely important. Because right from childhood, the boys at the Gurukul are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus, they become steady within the cores of their hearts. Any questions? He put the hands up first. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, bro. Thank you for the extremely courageous class. Because, I have been hoping that somebody will speak about this, and because this is not a topic that it's not a popular topic. So in terms of,
do you have a question?
Yes, Prabhu. So the question was regarding an accusation that I have heard from some outsiders a few times about us. I mean, as a movement, they have a perception that we are we favor the opulent or the rich people a lot more than we favor the less opulent or the less rich people, and they sometimes have this perception that we discriminate. But as preachers as managers sometimes have to give a little more time or a little more attention to richer people because they donate to the movement, they help the movement. So Prabhupada in this verse is also talking about how we should not be focusing so much on money in householder life. And as a movement, we are also supposed to be setting the example on what is ideal behavior, because people will observe what the leaders of society do. So Prabhupada established ISKCON to be a leader in society, the Brahmanas. I mean, to teach people.
So what's your question?
So the question is, how can we modify our activities in such a way that we don't create a perception that we favor a certain class of society?
Okay. You see, first of all, whatever we do, somebody will criticize. So we shouldn't be too much agitated by people's criticism. Like the other day, there was an elephant procession, huh? And the chariot is decorated with flowers. Some Indian man was saying, "Oh, why you spend money for these flowers? You should give it to the poor." They don't understand that they are poor because they are not decorated Radha Madhava. I'm just saying. So people's criticism should be listened to, see if there is anything of value, but shouldn't really become our direction for the policies. Now, I would say that there is nothing wrong in contacting big people with big financial possibilities, because we do have big plans. The TOVP is what? 100 meters from here? 100 meters? The TOVP, it takes millions of dollars. So definitely, we need to ask people who have money. They don't have to be only rich people, billionaires, super rich people. But definitely, to do something like the TOVP, we need money. In other words, they need enough people give their energy, those famous instrument of exchanges of goods and services, for this project. So there is nothing wrong in focusing a little bit more on people. Just like we give special attention to governors, political personality, we don't treat them like anybody else, because they're not anybody else. I know a story, I don't know if I read it or I heard it, I think it was here in Mayapur, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, why we give special attention to rich people? And Srila Prabhupada said, otherwise how we are going to build our temples? See, we are acting in society for the good of society. And for the good of society, we are establishing certain projects, like building a temple. Now, when we build a temple, everybody can come. The poor people can come. We don't charge to take darshan. So the poor people benefit also. In fact, most of pilgrims are, poor or middle class. But to give them this facility to come, to attract them, we need to have a special relation with people who have money. Just like to even sometimes exist or give some benefit, get some benefit from the government, we need to give special attention to politicians. Do we love politicians? Not necessarily. But they are sitting there. They have political power, they can help us or can hurt us. And therefore we need to give attention. Now, having said that, the addition is, it depends very much on our mentality. In other words, we can go to a rich man in different moods. We can think that, oh, they are really rich, or we are envious of them, or we would like to be like them. Or we can go and think these people are conditioned souls, they're struggling. Some of them are billionaires, they still work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. They're slaves of their wealth. They're slaves of the wealth. I can give you next. I have one friend in England. He works with very rich people. He moves money from country to country and this and that. They make money just finance, okay? And he told me his boss is a millionaire. Huh? But this boss is always in anxiety. He comes there at the office. He's a millionaire, maybe a billionaire, but he's always in anxiety. So if we have compassion, and especially if we don't try to go to these rich people because we want their opulence. You follow? Like say, for instance, Radhanath Maharaj. Okay? He deals with millionaires. You know the Artha Forum? Some of you have heard about the Artha Forum. It's an entity made with Iskcon devotees who deal with big capitalists. And they preach to them to do karma yoga. Okay? Now, Radhanath Maharaj deals with these people, but he has a very simple lifestyle. Is a very, very exemplary sadhu. So he's not going there so that then he can also have a gold watch or this, that. You follow? Whether he inspires people to give $1 billion or not, his lifestyle is the same. He gets up in the morning, he chants his round. You follow? So it's also our heart why we are going to these people. That's also very important to see. Now, I've been asked to finish at 9 o'clock. Officially, I'm going to finish, but if there are questions, we can continue. So, officially, it's finished. Grantaraj, Mabhatan, Kijai. But if there are questions, we can continue.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Actually, you focused on the principle Prabhupada gave us, how to practically follow it. And Prabhupada is mentioning, stressing two things, like in Gurukul and other Gosala.
Goshala. Srila Prabhupada stressed many things, but yes, these are two very important ones.
Basics, because unless... So, the Gurukula is the most important, and our leaders are not paying so much attention on it. How to develop Gurukula and establish nice Gurukula. The leaders are not so much interested in this subject matter.
You should speak in the mic. So, and you should try to come to the question
so,
soon
my
enough.
Question is that you are going forward with this principle, how to establish Gurukula. So you can create some interest in our leaders, how to develop Gurukula in Mayapur, the principle based given by Prabhupada, and you can move forward.
Okay, so it's not a question, it's not a comment, it's an advice to me. Thank you. I think it's a good advice. I'll take him and then I'll take Itanagar Prabhu.
Hello.
Yes.
What is the sign of a bona fide spiritual master?
To make a long story short, a bona fide spiritual master is a bona fide disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. So he practices and preaches what he has learned in parampara. So if he practices and teaches what he has learned in the bona fide parampara, then he is a bona fide spiritual master.
So what is transcendental bliss?
Transcendental bliss is spiritual ananda, spiritual happiness, love of God. We are inviting mostly questions on the subject of the lesson, and you already asked two questions. This is the last question, third question.
Sir, the activities performed.
Huh?
Activities.
Activities
performed for the pleasure of Krishna is called devotional service.
Yes.
Without any selfish motive.
What is the question?
Mean to say that without selfish motive anyone can do anything, I just don't think like that.
So that's the question?
Yeah. The result of our devotional service is, what is the result of our devotional service?
See, if we serve Krishna without personal expectations, that's called pure devotional service. Sometimes our devotional service is mixed. We want to serve Krishna, but we also want something from Krishna. So mixed devotional service gives mixed results. Thank you. Can you give the mic to Gita Nagari Prabhu, please?
I've been taking long walks in the Bengali countryside and tuning into the agriculture that's going on around us, all around us. Somehow or other, we're not taking part, but anyway, it's going on all around us. So, the question I have to, the thing I don't know, I just want to make this a statement and maybe you can comment on it, please. It seems that the basis of the Vanashram possibilities is rooted in the Brahmacharya ashram. But it also seems to me that until human society really returns to its agricultural roots, in other words, where the main occupation of human beings is working the soil and producing food, then that's also something that is the root of Vanashram system somehow or other. That seems to be a very essential thing. And I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you. Good point. See, the Brahmachari ashram, and therefore the Gurukul, and therefore the Brahminical culture, is the basis of Varnashram in a cultural way, is the cultural root. Because there is where people learn about Krishna and the importance of serving Krishna, or the importance of controlling the senses and everything. Now, agriculture is the root, is the basis for the economy of Varnashram. Because ultimately, what's the most important need? To eat. And food comes from the land. And building materials also come from the land. Stones and wood and so on. So, in this Varnashram talks, when Srila Prabhupada talks about Gurukul and talks about Varnashram college, he gets into this thing. Like for instance, somebody asks, so Vaishyas will do business, and Srila Prabhupada very strongly, he kind of cuts off the devotee, said, we are not interested in that type of business. The devotee was talking about finance, the world of finance, moving money, banking. Srila Prabhupada says, our Vaishyas in the Varnashram college will learn how to produce food and to protect cows. That's the Vaishyas that Srila Prabhupada had in mind. Not somebody who plays on the stock market in Wall Street and speculates on this or that. So the Vaishyas, although in a very general sense is the same category, Vaishya, deal with money, no, Vanik, merchants and so on, deal with goods, exchange of goods. But there is a gulf of difference. And Srila Prabhupada very strongly, you can read that conversation, he said, no, our Vaishyas means they produce food, everybody eats to their heart content, they protect cows, and if there is some surplus, they trade. You know, you have some geese to sell, you get the jute to sell, you sell things which you don't need immediately. And then, so, yes, thank you for bringing it up, that agriculture, land and cows should be the basis for Varnashram, the economy of Varnashram. Yes. Srila Prabhupada spoke many times strongly against industrialization, factories, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
When you get off the compound here and you go out into the villages, and you actually kind of tune in to what's going on agriculturally around here, most of the people are living pretty good lives. You know, I mean, the people who are engaged in agriculture and who are if you see what's going on with them, and you tune in a little bit, you'll see that they're living really good lives. They have a little plot of land, they have a little cow, they're milking the cow, they have other animals they're also eating, they have their families with them, they're not in super distress, even though there is some distress, but they're not in super distress. I'm talking about the people who have a little bit of land around here and who are agriculturalists. If you tune in to what's going on with them, you'll see there is a sense of satisfaction and peace, a little bit. You know, like when I deal with the rickshaw drivers, man, they're completely nuts. But when I go out there and I talk to some of the farmers, there's always a smile. You know, they're much more mellow, you know, and they're much more human.
This is how humans as a species have lived for millions and billions of years.
Yeah, yeah. I think we ignore it at our peril. I think ISKCON as a society ignores it at our peril. Our farm communities, our farm projects, I think it's just like if we also ignore the Gurukul at our peril, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
So if there's no more questions or comment, we'll close here. Thank you very much for your attention and patience. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.